Welcome to season 3 of Conversations with Coaches. This is a stakeholder-centered coaching production where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. I'm Brandon Murgard, your host for the show. This season, we go deep into the case study library to discuss the real-life challenges of leaders and the coaches who help them succeed. As an added bonus, we're giving away the latest installment of our case study library, which includes case study summaries, show notes from each episode, and ways you can connect with the guest. Get your copy today at mgscc.net/case-studies. Today, we are honored to be joined by Sunil Deshmukh, a coach renowned for his long, successful career as an executive and his ongoing contribution to leadership excellence through stakeholder-centered coaching. Sunil shares a compelling story of coaching a FANG employee through a career transition that led to a meaningful journey of overcoming DEI-related barriers in the workplace. Join us as we explore the nuances of coaching in diverse environments and the impactful lessons learned on both sides of the coaching relationship. Come on in. Let's find out more about the client.
So the client is a FANG employee, and you know the terminology FANG, and he's a techie, he's a data scientist, he's an artificial intelligence guy, a young techie working in Bangalore in India. Of course, for the confidentiality, I will not name the client, but this is the background of a client. He comes to me for career transition coaching, and that's what he tells me in my first initial conversation.
I like the foreshadowing. It sounds like things maybe changed a bit along the way, but I suppose we'll get there. How did this client find out about you, Sunil?
So this client found out about, to be frank, Brandon, I don't know. How did he find out about me? But to my knowledge, there are some pro bono coaching, some intellectual coachings happening all over India. And someone referred to him that I coach someone. So it's a more of a referral coaching. Someone told me Sunil was my coach, and that's how it happened.
Okay, great. And did this individual reach out to you, or was it the organization who gave you the first call?
So it is the organization who gave it me, not his employer, but there is a third-party organization who helps such clients or such coaches. So the organization helped out to me first.
And you know, what was that experience like when they reached out? Did they know exactly what they wanted, or were they sort of, you know we want something, but we're not quite sure what? What did that sound like?
The organization, to be frank, was not sure of what exactly is the problem, why this coaching needs coaching. They were not aware. They sort of just referred him to me without knowing any of his background or any of his issues or problems.
Mm. And who did the individual ask for the coaching, or was he voluntold that he's going to get coached?
No, individual asked for the coaching.
Oh, amazing. That is such a great way to start off. So this client raised their hand. They told the organization, I need coaching. They reach out to you. They say, we're not sure. You know, how do you walk into such a ill-defined environment and figure out what to do?
So that's the interesting part, Brandon. I like to do this type of coachings where I don't know anything about the client, where I don't know anything about the organization. And that's where I get my kick. I use the word kick. And that's where I get my kick. And it's like you are entering the unknown territory with the intention to be positive.
I would expect nothing less from someone with your background and your expertise, Sunil. That's wonderful. So you're not panicked at all walking into this. You're right where you want to be.
Oh, never. Not at all panic.
That's perfect. So your first meeting, was this with the individual? Was this with their boss or the sponsor?
So sponsored had a 10 minutes call with me without the coachee being present in the call and saying that so-and-so person, we are asking him to connect with you. That's it. And that was I would say hardly 5 minutes call by the sponsor organization. And then I had to set up, of course, they sent me the email, and then I connected with the coachee and scheduled an appointment. First meeting was a virtual meeting.
And what did that sound like with this individual who's eager and sounds quite willing? What did that sound like?
So it was very interesting. I mean, I was really excited because I always enjoy coaching the techies, the data scientists, and machine learning engineers of the world, because that's not my background. So that gives me more challenge to be good at what I'm doing. So I was excited, I was curious, and then I get into the call, and then it opens a Pandora's box at a different level.
I love it. Okay, so they told you he needs career transition. It sounds like that's where things started. Is that correct?
You are absolutely right. And if I still remember, the sponsor organization told me that this person is looking for a career transition coaching.
And what kind of transition were they hoping to make?
So the sponsor organization was not at all aware of anything, but they were simply talking about career transition coaching. That's it.
Okay. So, you know, you know, generally they want transition. You know that you're with a data junkie, which is absolutely a great type of client to fit what we do. You know, how did you approach this nebulous idea of career transition coaching?
So to be frank, I sent an email to him asking him, can you give me your profile, just a basic profile? Because if it is a career transition, obviously I need to see his resume or profile. And that's how it started. And when I saw his career profile, and that's where I came to know he's a FANG employee, have been working with big names on technology side for last almost 15 years. And that really created more interest in me, because he was a very high performing, very highly respected technology guy in the industry. And then I sent him some basic questions that, why don't you think on this and come back to me?
And were these questions, you know, aspirational? What do you want to do with your career? Or were they, you know, kind of close-ended? What did that look like?
Absolutely, you're right, Brandon. All these questions were aspirational. How do you see your life 5 years down the line? Where you would like to go? What you would like to do? So very open-ended questions, intentionally to make him think upon what is his future he would like to be.
And what do you get from that? Like, how do you interpret? I suppose everyone's aspirations are, you know, progressive, developmental, upward, lots of upward mobility. What do you take away from his answers to those questions?
So to be frank, I was a bit surprised. His answers were very, very specific. The question was open-ended, but the answers were very close-ended. And they were not like a given writing an essay. They were like two-liners or three-liners. So I started liking that candidate based on the answers he has sent to me on an email.
You like the concise, here's the answer, no fussing. Okay.
No fussing, straightforward, to the point.
Yeah. That's sounds like a data engineer. I like it. Okay. So, you know, what did you do? Walk us through kind of what evolved from this initial set of questions.
Yeah, so from these questions, you know, as a coach or as a qualified coach, I had my own views after reading those answers. And we as a coach create a picture of a coachee in our mind based on this correspondence what we had. So I was excited. I have created an image about this person in my mind, and I was ready to go and sort of meet him.
Mm-hmm. And did you have, you know, do you have a game plan walking into that meeting, or are you still doing the Sunil freewheel? We'll figure it out as we go.
I would say to a large extent, it was a freewheeling. That's what it was in my mind. Of course, because his answers were very specific, I was a bit careful that this guy seems to be like E is equal to MC square. It's very, very, very well defined, very logical in thinking. So I was a little bit careful, but of course, I knew that once I get into the coaching, it will open up so many things.
Okay, so you go and you meet him. Walk us through kind of what happens this session, what happens the next few.
Yeah, and this is where, Brandon, I use the terminology, open the Pandora's box, and this is where it all started. So we agree on a scheduled time, and this was a virtual call on a technology platform. And as usual, I think this was just out of second lockdown and things were not completely open, but partly, you know, all that sort of thing. Work from home, not work from home, that type of environment. I go into the first call with him, and when I connect with him on a technology platform, of course, his video was on my watch video one, and obviously greetings and this and that and that. And, you know, I love talking as usual. So I started greeting him, and to a large extent, I could see that there was not, he was not receiving me rightly, or he was not reverting to my greetings in a way I would have expected. And that's where was, I would say, my first concern came to me, that how come he's not responding to me, and he wants career transition, you know, all those things. And it started changing the image which I have created in my mind about this person. Oh, this looks something different. So there was no quick response. He took time to respond to me. When he was responding to me, he was not looking into the camera. He was looking somewhere else. So all these signals were not expected by me. And as a coach, as I said, that we are all vulnerable to our own biases. And to be frank, and this is what I wanted to talk to today, all my listeners and Brandon, to you and everyone, that the bias can kill us. And I had my bias, and you call it, I call it unconscious bias. And we all know in a coaching terminology what unconscious bias means. But I think my unconscious bias was, so there was a fight within my heart and mind. What's happening? What's happening here? Why he's not coming up? Why he's not opening up? So this started a process at a much slower pace than I thought of. It created a lot of apprehensions in my mind. Have I made some mistakes? Am I doing something wrong here? Or why I am assuming that someone will respond to me immediately? You know, all those typical questions which a good coach will think about, they started coming in my mind. And there was some sort of pause during the coaching conversation. And that pause was also difficult for me.
Tell me more about this pause.
So initially I thought this is a pause because of technology. You know, sometimes there is a lag, or sometimes. So I started asking, hey, are you listening to me properly? Can you hear me properly? Can you say yes to me? Or, you know, like, I was thinking there is a technology as an issue. But technology was not an issue. He could speak to me, but when I speak to him, after giving a pause, which is longer than our normal pause, he will respond to me and say that I'm good. And his communication was very specific, very limited, not a single extra word. So that was further creating an anxiety in me. Why he's not, means, is he like this, or what's happening there? Does he have a problem in his surrounding? So I started asking him, do you have a problem? Is your room okay? Are you getting a lot of sounds in your room? You know, all unknown questions I started asking him.
This is making me anxious. So what happened next?
So I will tell you, Brandon, this went on like this almost for 20 to 25 minutes. And it was like pushing me to the wall, you know, what is happening here, right? He is interested in career transitioning. I have already seen his profile, and I'm interested in talking to him. What are the challenges? And ask those questions which he has answered, but there was no response coming from him. Then, so I finally asked him in a very nicer way, do you have any problem in continuing this coaching conversation today? Then he says, no. Then I said, okay, how can we ensure that we talk to each other? He answers to me, we are anyway talking to each other. So it was like creating more and more anxiety, right? So to be frank, as a coach, I was getting nervous. And that's where I talk about the vulnerability, right? So I again asked him some questions. So how is the day? You know, I went into the general mode now. How is the day? How is your family? And, you know, sort of, I thought I need to make him comfortable in my coaching conversation. But every time whenever he talked to me, he will not look into the camera. He will look it on the side. And then every time he will answer me, there was a pause. The answer was never coming immediately. So that made me to think, what's happening here? And then I started asking him, do you have any issue in my language, in my conversation, in my tone, in my speed of talking to you? What is your problem? And that's where first time he opens up and he says that I have a challenge. I have a hearing deficiency.
Okay. Plot twist.
Yeah. So this was the big twist. And again, the unconscious bias, we assume people, we think of people something, and when he told me that he has got a hearing deficiency, I'll tell you, I mean, in my term, I slapped myself on my face. That was the feeling I got. I became so, I don't know the right word, but I thought, who am I? Why I am not looking at a bigger picture? Why I am going the plain vanilla way in my life? I need to think out of box. I cannot treat all the people same. You know, all those diversity, inclusion, all those best of the things in my life, which I use in my corporate world, I was holding them somewhere else. And that event, that moment was really very, very difficult moment for me as a coach. And I was really sort of blaming myself. And then that good part was he realized that now the pause is from my side, because I went into that thought process, right? What mistakes I did, why I assume everything is like normal, right? So then he asked me, are you okay? And that's the point, Brandon, the trust, you know, we talk about the trust in our conversation, in our coaching. When he asked me, Mr. Sunil, he called me Mr. Sunil, I still remember, said, Mr. Sunil, are you okay? And that time I realized that the trust is getting developed now. It took half an hour, but trust is getting developed in a conversation. And you know, I very often use this terminology you might have heard in the past is regarding the trust. I always use the terminology or the proverb, the Dutch proverb, which says that trust comes on the foot and trust comes on the foot, but lives on the horseback. You know, I always remember this terminology. It's very difficult to create a trust amongst anyone, your team, your employee, your coachee. But it's a second in which you can lose the trust. So that trust creation started happening after 30 minutes.
Did you feel like there was a breach of trust with your not knowing the hearing deficiency? Like, did he take offense to that? Or was he just like, oh, this makes sense now?
No, I think there was no breach of trust, but I think there was no common platform created to create the trust. You know, we were just on our own. He's on his own. I'm on my own. And I think that happened when he said, are you okay, Mr. Sunil? And that's where trust started. Then I very nicely asked, can you please elaborate what exactly is your issue? Or, you know, sort of, can you, he said, I have a hearing deficiency. I said, if you don't mind, can you please elaborate on this? And then obviously he told me a lot of things. Then he started talking and I started listening. Then he told me at the end of conversation, which was the sort of suspense. He said, whatever you were talking, I was using a technology platform which was creating the subtitles out of your discussion, translating it for me. And I was listening to satellite phone or whatever the phone they use, the special purpose audio phones for those people. So he said that was the reason it was creating so much of a pause. Because whenever I speak, he has to get his computer, because he's a techie, he was able to do all this thing. He was using all the best technology in the world to listen to me. So whatever I speak was getting subtitled onto his computer. Then it was getting maybe translated, or it was getting sort of pronounced. I don't know, audio and all those things. So that was creating the pause. So at the end, he told me all these things. And that was like, it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's a single coach listening today who hasn't had a rough start of an engagement. I don't know that any of us have had this rough of a start, but how did you turn things around, Sunil?
So I really, when he told me all these things, I asked him, can we close this conversation today? Can we stop this conversation today? And we connect after 2 weeks or whatever. And he was very kind. He said, yeah, I agree with you. And so we closed the conversation. And then I went into my reflection mode, which was very difficult for me. I studied, I researched, I read a lot of research articles, how to communicate with these type of people, how to ensure that there is a consistency in communication, how they understand you, how many times you can use the sign language, how many times you can use the writing pad, writing board, all those type of things I started studying. Because I decided that I will ensure that I help this guy now. It was like a challenge taken, accepted by me that, oh, okay. Now let me be a different type of person to coach this person.
This is one of those cases where the client ends up transforming us while we're working with them on transfer. It's amazing.
That exactly is the word you absolutely right use. Client transformed me as a human being, as a coach.
What a gift. Yeah. Okay, so rough start. You take a 2 week break. You come back to the meeting room. What happened next?
So that's interesting. So we come back to the next time. So now we have that trust factor with each other. We start laughing. I mean, of course, we greet very well and all those things. And now I know whatever I have to talk. So first thing I did, I will tell you very frankly, is instead of allotting 1 hour for coaching session, I allotted 2 hours for my coaching session in my mind. That was my internal accepting to me that I need more time here. Then I sent a message to him. I typed a message in a chat box saying that, hey, I'm available to you today as long as you want me. So I didn't tell him that only 2 hours, but I told him. So I'm just sort of creating trust. Then every time I communicate with him, I was talking very slowly, very consistently, at a pace which is not up and down, not at all shouting on him. Because everything, whatever I was talking, was getting captured on his screen by way of subtitles. So I cannot change my pace. I cannot shout. And normally, while communicating, we use a lot of tonality, high pitch, low pitch. Here, I am doing the reverse. I'm not supposed to go into high pitch at all. I'm not supposed to go into the low pitch. I have to maintain the pitch level. I have to maintain the pace of communication. So I started doing all those things. And he realized that now it's working very well because his software, whatever software he was using, I think recognized my voice now very well, was able to understand my pace and collect the words or capture the words properly. The subtitles were coming very smoothly. And the entire process was moving very nicely. And then obviously, he started communicating with me. I started communicating. So the pause became a procedure. Pause became a system now. I know now I need to take a pause. He knows now that Sunil is taking pause. In that meantime, he's looking at his computer screen, but not looking at me. Now I know what is happening on the other side. So there is a comfort in my side. It's not like touch and go. I tell him something and he responds because he need to read on the screen. He need to understand that. Then he need to write on that. So it was the slow process, but now the uniformity in the process of communication was developed.
What happened as a result of these coaching sessions? Like, was he able to make the transition he was looking for through your modifications to the process?
So this is a very interesting aspect, Brandon. During the entire coaching conversation, I think I had more than 6 sessions with him. One of the things I realized that his real problem was not career transition. And which when I convinced him through my corner, he was really, it was a eureka moment for him, really. His problem was not career transition. His problem was career growth. So what was happening is, so when I started talking to him more and more and asking a lot of questions, I realized that his career growth is hampered because of his hearing deficiency.
And I know you have a great deal of experience with DEI and handling these situations. How did you navigate that?
So first thing, to be frank, Brandon, it took me time to convince him that his problem is not career transition. His problem is career growth, which is directly related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. You and me talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion at a very different level because we are coaches. We understand that. We follow that and whatever. But when an employee at a middle management level in an organization, which might be a very big organization, very well-known organization, for them, diversity, equity, and inclusion is only a policy which is declared on a website of the company. So when I started asking, so first question I asked him, what is the policy of your company about D&I? So to be frank, he asked me, can you please explain to me what is diversity, equity, and inclusion? Then he downloaded the company's D&I policy, shared with me. Company had a very fantastic policy about the diversity, equity, and inclusion. No doubt about that. One, during further conversation, what I realized is the reporting manager of this, my coachee, the reporting manager, was not at all aware of what is diversity, equity, and inclusion. So what was happening? The company has got a great policy towards diversity, equity, and inclusion. Employee is a diverse employee now in this scenario. The coachee was a diverse employee, and you know what, we'll talk about diversity, but he had an issue. And there were hardly 1 or 2 employees like him in the entire organization. So it was clearly a case of diversity. But the middle management was not knowing how to handle this issue. And that's where the career growth of my coachee or my client was getting hampered. Now, when this discussion started coming up, then he had a different perspective. So I told him very nicely that you need to, well, I didn't use the word coach, but in my mind was the word. I told him, you need to coach your boss about diversity. So I used the word educate. I said, you need to educate your boss. What is your company's policy on diversity, equity, and inclusion? And how your hearing deficiency cannot be treated as a bottleneck in the performance of an organization. And these are two independent things. They should not be mixed together. And because his career growth was not happening, he was thinking about career transition. Whereas he had no problem with the organization. He was very happy with the organization. He was performing very well. He was getting all variable pay and all those things. But he was not seeing the growth happening in the career. And that growth was not happening because of his diversity issue.
Oh, how frustrating. So how did it turn out? He starts educating his boss on this. What happened next?
So as per my knowledge, to be frank, he told me he had one conversation with his boss. He went to him and, of course, I told him if his boss wants to talk to me, I am open to talk to him. But, you know, no one talks like that. So he goes to his boss, a reporting manager, and he says that I need to discuss with you something about my career growth. He didn't talk about diversity. He said about career growth. And then they had a one-on-one conversation. And in that conversation, he brought the issue that he thinks, my coach thinks that he's not getting career growth because of his diversity issue. And he openly and very bluntly, he says to me, very openly and bluntly spoke on this topic. He says his boss was confused.
Okay.
Now, boss or the reporting manager were focused on performance, work, completing the projects on time, you know, all those type of things. He had no time to think about this diversity, company policy, all those type of things. So after that, he said there was a change in attitude. This is the word he used. Not 100%, but to a large extent, he said there was a change in attitude of behavior of his reporting manager towards him. But I touched base with him like 6 months back. He said, but there was no promotion given to him. There was no growth happened in the organization. So he eventually left the organization and joined another.
Boy, that must have been so frustrating and even heartbreaking to have put so much forth to your career and even invest this time in getting coached on your career just to have to walk away. But the story of walking into the engagement, arming yourself with all the standard expectations, and then, you know, not being reflexive to adapt, that's something I think most of us can resonate with. What did you learn as a coach walking away from this engagement?
So, to be frank, Brandon, it was one of the most challenging but most satisfying coaching assignment for me in my life until now. We do coaching day in, day out. We coach CXOs, we coach middle management. But this had a unique problem and unique opportunity for me to, and it helped me to develop myself. One thing I realized, and one of the big takeaways for me or for coaches at large, is that whenever you go into the coaching, your unconscious bias, you must be aware of that. And how do you, I use the word, how do we cleanse, the cleansing of our own unconscious biases? How do we do that? So we as coaches, we need to have look at that on a regular basis, maybe every quarter, every year. How do we do that? Do a self-assessment, maybe do the surveys, maybe ask your friends or ask your, do a supervision in your coaching. And ask people around you, do I carry unconscious biases? So I think that was the one thing, that be aware of your unconscious biases whenever you get into the coaching and make it a practice to cleanse your biases from time to time.
Walk me through what that, you know, what are your habits walking into an engagement now that you know that and you're aware, I've got to scrub these biases up. You know, what's your habit look like?
So it's very difficult, right? So I go with a clean slate, right? As far as possible, I do not form the views and opinions, do not create an image about my coachee before I get into the coaching. So in a reverse way, I nowadays do, what I do is I try to get as much less information about my coachee as possible before my first chemistry session happens. Because the more you know about your coachee, it is very likely that your biases may get activated. So I go with a clean slate. So I just ask, what's the name of the person? That's it. Don't tell me what department he works, what's his role, what happens to him. I'm typically talking on transition coaching, career transition coaching, but in any other coaching also, I try to get as much less information as possible. More the information, more the bias, and more your ability to interfere in your mind. Oh, this should be a problem. This should be like, you know. So I avoid that now.
Wow. Okay. So I thought you were going in cold at the beginning, but now you go in even colder with even less. That is just, it's astounding. And Sunil, it speaks volumes about your capabilities as a coach to go in with the confidence knowing, I don't need to know anything. I just need to listen and I'll figure the rest out along the way. Absolutely inspirational.
Yep. Yep. Thank you.
So what if you sit down in a session, you know nothing, and there's some, you know, if this particular case repeated itself, you'd know exactly what to do. But if you notice some odd behaviors, like how would you bring this up or broach the topic to ask so that way you can be aware of it and adaptive to it rather, you know, without being, I don't know, offensive or encroaching on their, yeah, how do you do that?
So one thing I have started off late doing is that I take a lot of time to analyze during the coaching. I am taking pauses now. In the sense, I am reflecting upon what the person has said rather than reacting to him. Most of the time, what happens in conversation, in routine conversation, as well as coaching conversation, once the coaching commences and catches up the speed, we become very reactive to the conversation. So I am holding on that now. I take time. Even if my normal coaching is, let's say, 1 hour, I on an average spend 1.5 hours with my clients nowadays. I relax, I take pause, I try to rephrase what the person is saying, I try to interpret myself, and then definitely I have been developing on my patience. And obviously, patience in listening, we all know active listening skills, but empathetic listening has become a part of my coaching conversation nowadays, more as compared to last few years.
Have you changed the way that you ask questions in that initial conversation? Are there any specific questions that you've since adopted to make sure that you're uncovering the real heart of the individual before getting to the heart of the challenge?
Not really, but depending on case to case basis, obviously some different questions are coming now. One thing I have done is those standard prototype questions I'm not asking now. Previously, we had those 100 best questions to be asked by a coach, all those type of stuff. I don't follow that now anymore, or even previously also, but at least 4 or 5 questions were standard prototype questions. I don't ask a prototype standard questions now. I don't carry any question with me in my mind. On the spot, when we start the conversation, whatever comes to my mind, then I will ask him the question. But I will not go with those 5 questions I must ask my coach and all those things. I don't do that now.
Well, let me ask an advice-based question, Sunil, because I want to make sure that people like this individual are represented, that they are seen, they are accommodated in their workplaces. If you're working with a senior manager who has someone in their team who needs that special care, special attention, someone who fits it within their DEI parameters, but they don't know exactly what to do, or they're just, it's a brand new field for them. What advice would you have for that leader to handle a client like this to ensure that their career development is not stifled by their differences?
Yeah, and it's a very pertinent question in today's world. And you know, post-COVID and all those things, a lot of psychological capital related issues and so many issues, and not only diversity related issues. What first suggestion or what is my recommendation to all the so-called managers, team leaders and all those things is to understand diversity, equity, and inclusion. And do not treat it as a policy of the company written on company's corporate board or website and all those things. Please try to engage and understand that maybe from your HR department or whosoever is related to that. That's number one. Knowing exactly, getting some sort of training, getting some sort of knowledge on this particular policies is very, very important, according to me. Second thing is, whenever a manager or a leader in a team deals with these type of diverse employees, the specific case what I discussed in the beginning, they need to have a lot of patience to deal with these people. They need to show respect towards these people. it's very important that you cannot disrespect someone because of his or her diversity issue. Please respect people as if they are at par with everyone. Then a person, manager or leader, should show a willingness to adjust his or her own style to work with that person. And it's a compromise, sort of, right? You are accustomed to do a job in a particular way, but here comes a special case or here comes an issue. The manager or leader need to understand that he or she need to change his or her style of working with that particular person. Second thing is very important is that as far as possible, speak clearly. See, this with these type of people, it's very, very important that your communication is the key. And when I say communication, simple, plain English language, number one. Number two, pace of communication has to be consistent. Because the moment your pace goes up and down, these people have issues. They may have hearing aids. They may have the wavelength issues. So many issues. Third thing is, do not shout on these people. Please do not. This is my heartfelt request to everybody in the world. Do not shout on these people. Shouting is treated by them in a very different way than what you and me can think of shouting. Speak at a moderate pace, consistent pace. Rephrase your work if required. Do not repeat it. I'm saying rephrase it. Because if you say something and if you repeat something, they may still not understand that. So here I'm saying rephrasing it. Give some references, give some metaphors to them that, oh, in this case, have you seen something like this? Or use like that. Most important is use gestures. It may be hand gestures. If you understand a little bit of their language, use those gestures. Or the best thing is take a piece of paper or use the whiteboard, start writing on there. Their visual communication is much quicker, much faster, much smarter than their hearing-based communication. And ask these people very often that, how can I help you? I mean, you have to show that empathy, continuous basis, not only when you are talking to them. And I would say, other than that, if these people are using some technological tools for communication purpose, try to understand those technological tools also, be it language translation, be it subtitling. And there are so many things nowadays. I'm not saying we should be able to do everything, but at least ask that person what tool you are using. Can you a little bit explain to me and how can I adapt to it so that you are comfortable with that? And most important is be kind with these people. And keep sufficient time on your hand. Do not show them the watch. Oh, 1 hour is over now, I need to go. Doesn't work there. So these are some of the experiential tips or experiential recommendations based on my experience with this particular candidate, and which now I'm applying on other candidates who are not having any issue also. And it's helping.
Beautiful. Well, Sunil, I have to thank you. This has been personally inspirational as someone who fits quite squarely in DEI parameters and someone who has family members who very much need that special extra mile, that extra care. I really appreciate what you've done and what you've shared for us. And Sunil, I think you're the only coach who's come on and said, hey, let me tell you about some of the mistakes that I made. And that's such a powerful gesture. Really appreciate it.
No, and I look at that as my own cleansing mechanism. That I'm not the best in the world. I also need to learn every time. I might have done some qualifications on coaching, but that's every day is a new day for me to learn from every single person, particularly more from my coaches and my clients.
Sunil, if someone in our audience today wants to learn more about you, follow your story, or get in touch, how can they reach out?
Best thing is to reach out to me through my email, which I will share with you and you can publish. Then you can reach out to me LinkedIn. You can reach out to me directly on my phone, mobile phone. So please feel free to connect with me. Attend my webinars whenever I do those webinars on different topics. And before I end, Brendan, I just want to say a few things. What I learned from this entire journey or everything is I always make a comment or I read some very interesting words somewhere that whenever you do not get what you want to get, what you get is an experience. Learn from that experience and enjoy.
Sunil Deshmukh shared his profound experience in DEI coaching. Today's story highlights the critical importance of understanding and addressing the unique challenges faced by individuals in a diverse work environment. We hope today's episode inspires you to approach coaching and leadership with empathy, awareness, and a firm commitment to inclusivity.
Remember, all the case studies of this season are available for download at mgscc.net/case-studies. The link can also be found in the episode description. And if you'd like to better understand the foundations of leveraging stakeholders and measuring results in your coaching, then join the free training program, Foundations of Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we share the philosophies and frameworks that guarantee improved leadership effectiveness in 12 months or less. You can register for the free course at mgscc.net/foundations-course. Until next time, this has been another episode of Conversations with Coaches by Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. Thank you for joining the conversation, and stay tuned for more stories of leadership transformation.